This is State of the Union, the District Council 37 radio show on 91.5 WNYE FM. I'm Chris Policano. DC 37 is New York City's largest public employee union with nearly 125,000 members and 50,000 retirees. We are part of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, also known as AFSCME. We're on the air Sundays at 8 p.m. We rebroadcast Wednesdays at 1:30 p.m. We're also available as a podcast. Simply go to the podcast app on your smartphone and search for DC 37 State of the Union. There are now more ways to stay in touch with the union. You can check out the website, www.dc37.net. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and call the hotline for updates on union events at 212-815-7555. If you've got any comments about this show, please drop us a line at State of the Union. That's one word, at dc37.net. After months of rumors and leaked drafts, the Trump administration has issued a proposed policy change that will allow the government to consider the use of certain public benefits, as well as factors such as age, income, and employment history, in determining whether someone seeking to become a legal permanent resident is considered likely to become a, quote, public charge, end quote. Tonight, we welcome New York City Health and Hospitals President and CEO Dr. Mitchell Katz to discuss the impact on our public hospital system. And welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
This is a big deal. We record this show on Thursday mornings. So yesterday, December 5th, a press conference was held in which you spelled out what's at stake. Let's talk about what's at stake.
Well, thanks so much for the opportunity. For the listeners, this is a huge deal, and there's also an opportunity for our listeners to make a difference to support immigrant families. New York City Health and Hospitals has a long tradition of caring for people regardless of their immigration status. We're very proud of that. New York City is a city full of immigrants, and that's what makes us so vibrant. This public charge proposal threatens all of that because it says to people who are immigrants, if you use Medicaid or other kinds of public benefits, we might not allow you to become a U.S. resident or citizen. This can mean for an individual that they have to choose between getting needed medical care and being able to stay in the U.S. to be able to stay with their family. We know there are a lot of mixed-status families where there may be a parent who is not yet documented and children who were born here and are citizens of our country. And now we would be saying to the parents, well, do you want to get treated for your diabetes or do you want to be able to stay in this country with your children? That's a choice no parent should have to make. And I would say also as a doctor who cares for people, primary care physician at Gouverneur, it's unfair that I should have to take into account somebody's immigration status when, as a doctor, I'm ethically bound to provide the very best possible care to the patients I see.
Now, this could impact a large number of New Yorkers, plus really have a negative impact on the financing of the public hospital system.
You're right on both counts. Part of why this legislation proposed has such broad implications is because the public charge issue raises all kinds of misconceptions. So, for example, at Health and Hospitals, we have a WIC program that provides formula for low-income families so that their babies get sufficient nutrition. We've had mothers withdrawing from the WIC program now, even though the public charge legislation doesn't involve WIC. But people just have heard about public charge, and so they're afraid of any government services. We've had patients who are legal residents here and will not be affected by the legislation want to disenroll from Medicaid. So we estimate that up to 350,000 of our patients will be affected by this proposed legislation if it goes into effect, even though they themselves are not subject to this legislation. In terms of the overall system, we rely on patients having Medicaid in order to finance the care of their what they need and to keep enough dollars in the system so that we can provide quality care. And this legislation threatens that.
New York City Health and Hospitals is the largest public health care system in the United States, providing essential inpatient, outpatient, and home-based services to more than 1 million New Yorkers every year in more than 70 locations across the city. As Health and Hospitals struggles in the world that we live in, this is adding huge insult to injury because it's not easy running the public health care system on a good day.
Well, absolutely. The needs of our population greatly exceed the available funding. And every day we struggle to care for homeless people, for people who don't have a steady supply of food, for people dealing with addictions and mental illness. And we treat everybody with dignity and make sure that we give them their full humanity. But ultimately, that requires being able to hire doctors and nurses to care for them. And the idea that many people, including people who are fully entitled to these benefits, are disenrolling is really harmful to the system and harmful to them. For our viewers to know, at the moment, because this proposal still is a proposal, we encourage people to fully take advantage of the benefits that they are entitled to. There's also a 60-day grace period. If this legislation is approved, nothing that is used during this time or in that 60-day period following a promulgation of a rule can be held against someone. But after that 60-day, if this rule goes forward, there is a potential harm. There is an opportunity to send in comments to the federal government. We know that more than 100,000 comments have already been sent in. Can you read the website to send in their comments?
Please go to the New York City website, www.nyc.gov/public charge. That's one word. You've got until December 10th to submit a comment to the government to say, we don't want public charge. This is an unfair burden on the city healthcare system. And you know, DC 37 members, thousands of DC 37 members work within the health and hospitals system. And we are all looking to make it as strong a system as possible. You have been head of health and hospitals now for how long?
11 months, and it's been the best 11 months of my life.
And you came from a pretty big system to begin with out in California.
Yes, I ran the second largest municipal system.
There was only one place.
LA County.
There was only one place for you to go, I guess, if you were running the second largest. Now you're running the largest, right?
Well, I mean, the real thing is I was born in Brooklyn, so I'm a native New Yorker, and it's been a life dream to be able to run the system in my own hometown and provide the kind of care that I feel so strongly our people deserve. And I love working with DC 37 and the other labor leaders in New York City to make sure that our system remains vibrant and strong.
What are the challenges in 2000, as we approach 2019, what are the priorities that you have for the system, if you don't?
Health and Hospitals has always provided great medical and nursing care, but we haven't always been so easy to use. We've had long waiting times. We haven't always had responsive phone capabilities so that people can call and get an appointment by phone without actually having to go into the clinic. We need to make our service as friendly and as supportive as our great medical and nursing care. And then also we need to provide much more outpatient care. The world is changing. It's not just about 11 great hospitals and our 5 great skilled nursing facilities. It's also about trying to make sure that people can go to a primary care doctor and get the services they need.
Any surprises, particular surprises about the environment of the city or anything that as you think back on the past 11 months, what the biggest surprise was to run a system this big?
One of the things I love about health and hospitals is that so many of the people who work for health and hospitals are from the community. I get lots of emails about people, especially on this public charge issue, thanking me for our advocacy and saying that they themselves were undocumented immigrants living in New York City, and they benefited from the health and hospital system. My own family got their care at Coney Island Hospital, and so I feel very much part of this family of people who grew up depending on the public hospital system. And I love that so many of my doctors and nurses and social workers and clerks, PAs, nurse practitioners actually live in the communities where their hospitals are located.
We're talking with New York City Health and Hospitals President and CEO Dr. Mitchell Katz. We are asking folks to go to the New York City website, www.nyc.gov/public charge, and submit a comment by December 10th to tell folks that we want to, tell us what we want them to say.
We encourage individual messages. Part of the public charge legislation is that the federal government has to read and respond to all of the issues that are raised. So we want people to individually say, you know, why, what their opinion is about preventing people from immigrating to our great country simply because they sought needed medical care or sought nutritional assistance through the food stamp program. Tell them what you think. Let them explain why they're going forward with this potentially harmful, legislation.
Dr. Mitchell Katz, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
Were you a September 11th responder or volunteer? Were you present at the dust cloud on 9/11? Do you live, work, or go to school in the New York City disaster area on 9/11 or in the following months? Do you now suffer from problems such as chronic cough, shortness of breath, anxiety, depression, or have other symptoms? If so, you may be eligible for the World Trade Center Health Program and could receive medical monitoring and treatment at no out-of-pocket cost to you. To learn more about the program and get an application, go to www.cdc.gov/WTC or call 1-888-982-4748. If you were there, you deserve care. Call today, 1-888-982-4748. 1-888-982-4748. If you were there, you deserve care.
Back. This is State of the Union, the District Council 37 radio show on 91.5 WNYE FM. I'm Chris Policano. We are welcoming back to the show, although I wish we weren't welcoming him back to the show, because Derek Jordan is the business representative of Local 3 of the IBEW. Derek, welcome back, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but your being back means the strike is still going on, and this strike should be over.
Yes, that's correct. And Chris, thank you again for having me back. I think this is something that the public should definitely be well informed on. We're still out on strike. It's going on 21 months. We went out as of March 28, 2017, last year.
We're talking and I realize I didn't mention it in the introduction. We're talking about the Spectrum strike, Spectrum workers on strike since March of 2017, which I didn't realize it was that long.
Yes.
Let's go back to the issue, the basic issues of the strike and that sent you out on strike and where we are and where we stand now.
Well, the company refused to continue contributions into our defined benefit plans. We had pension and medical for years. It's never been an issue. And, you know, Chris, I don't want to lose sight about also other things the strike is about. It's about unfair treatment of the workers. And, you know, I think we've kind of lost focus of that. You know, there's a lot of predators that are working, you know, for the company that they hired. And, you know, basically it's union busting. It's union busting.
And we're talking about, as always, when it comes to workers, we're talking about fairness and respect.
Yes, exactly. Fairness and respect. You know, it's interesting. While I was waiting to do the show, I had the opportunity, and I won't say the names of the Charter Spectrum workers who actually crossed the picket line, just to have a little chat with them. And, you know, they know me, and it's interesting how when it was Manhattan Cable and Time Warner Cable, there was an opportunity. It was a career. It's no longer a career. And the two people I was having a discussion with, they have no long-term plans of staying there, and neither do a lot of other people, because it's just not the way it was. You know, we built this city. The people who took over Charter Spectrum have no regards. It's all about union busting. It's all about money. And, you know, we're fighting for fair wages. We're fighting for benefits. And we're fighting for fair treatment of the workforce that we've been supplying over 40 years to this company.
There was a big rally on 23rd Street. This is Thursday, December 6th. There was a big rally on 23rd Street outside of Spectrum headquarters on the 6th. Governor Cuomo was there. The governor has played a role in this in recent weeks, trying to get folks together. And then Spectrum walked away from the table last week. Is that a fair assessment?
Yes, that is correct. And, you know, Spectrum is putting a spin on it. You know, they're putting the information out on the Internet saying that Local 3 were the ones that walked out. Spectrum walked out. You know, again, there were things that we could have reached agreements on, but the major hurdles, you know, including treatment of the workforce, you know, those seem to be big issues. And, you know, Charter Spectrum, they weren't willing to bend on that and a lot of other things. So, and, you know, it's interesting. If you read the articles, you know, basically they're saying that they made concessions. They have not made any concessions. They implemented their terms and conditions, which people were basically starved into going to work under. And, you know, I guess to them, a concession is giving back something that we fought long and hard to get. And that's not a concession. That's something that we had already.
And so, and once again, as was mentioned at the rally by numerous folks, and it really was quite impressive, the solidarity both from other labor groups such as DC-37. We came out to support.
Yes.
We came out to support, and we were there.
We appreciate that.
DC-37 Green was out there. The hotel workers were out there.
Yes.
And
hotel
the number
trades, yes.
And the number of elected officials who were out there.
Yes.
And the governor made it clear that, you know, the issue of inequality once again raises its head here, where the CEO of Spectrum and the CEO of Charter Communications make millions of dollars, and
yes,
the top executives make millions of dollars, and those
yes
guys are making that kind of money off the work of folks who belong to IBEW Local 3.
As Chris says, it's corporate greed. It's corporate greed, it's control, it's union busting. And, I mean, that's unfortunately the climate in this country. So, you know, I hope everyone else wakes up and they see what's going on in New York City. It can happen anywhere. And eventually it just might. I mean, look at the Trump administration. You know, look at what's down at the National Labor Relations Board right now. So, I mean, these are things that, you know, we're up against. And, you know, we need fairness in the city. They need to know that this is a union town. They need to know that workers have rights and workers should be treated with respect.
You were on this show about a year ago. I think it's more than a year ago, because now that I know that the strike has been going on for 21 months.
Yes.
We were talking about what it's like to be on strike for 6 months. And we were talking about some of the hardships faced by some of the employees. At 21 months, what are your folks going through?
A lot of the people are still struggling. We placed them out of temporary jobs through Local 3, and it's maintaining their health care and their pension benefits. Some people are doing side jobs in addition to what they have. They're struggling, but they're making it. And, I mean, these are people that are holding out, and they don't want to go back to work without representation. So, you know, they would rather struggle and see our fight continue, you know, for fairness, for a fair contract, and so that they get their benefits back. But it's difficult. And, you know, I've known a lot of these people well over 30 years. I used to work with them because I'm from the cable TV industry. So it's rough seeing them struggle. But, you know, at the end of the day, they say to me, hey, listen, we don't want to go back without representation.
And what's this issue about? And I don't want to ask you. I don't want to surprise you with a question, but it was raised at the rally yesterday. It was raised that Charter is not operating as per the agreement with the state, and that the state has actually, told them they can't operate after July or something like that.
There are violations of the Public Service Commission. Of course, rescinded the merger agreement. There's issues, you know. Also, even with the franchise agreement, built within that, they said that they would not change the customer-facing workforce, which they have done. People lose sight. Also, there's the Attorney General lawsuit against them, lying about their internet speeds and defrauding the public. So, I mean, there's a lot of other charges other than, you know, unrelated to what our strike is about. So, you know, just let you know that these are bad players.
But there's also a lack of quality of services when the customers are not getting Local 3 workers. Talk a little bit about that.
Yes. There's a lot of unqualified workers out there. I'm not going to say their whole workforce is not qualified because we have people that went back to cross. But, on average, they just don't know the system. You know, they've hired people who were basically chased out of Cablevision when Altice took over. And, you know, they threw them out here into the streets of Manhattan and the outer boroughs, and they don't know the system. They really do not know the system. So, they're doing patchwork on a lot of things. Again, there are people on the inside that we're in touch with that they're telling us what's going on. This system has to be rebuilt. They haven't had a rebuild since the mid-90s when I worked for the company. You know, it's all patchwork.
And to be clear, because this is kind of important. When we talk about union busting, they don't say we don't want the union. They come at it a different way, right? I mean,
they do. They have an open door policy, as they call it. You know, where you can go and talk to them. You don't need any kind of representation. So, you know, basically they're saying, hey, if you want a raise, you know, put on your knee pads and come into this office.
Right.
That's pretty much what it is.
And that is the that's the script. That's the way, they tell the individual worker that he or she will have some sort of, you know, power and an open door. But when the stuff hits the fan, you need that collective power to be able to move, you know, the issue forward. And it's very hard.
Empowerment is through solidarity.
So let's do this. We've got a couple minutes left. I want to make it clear to the listener who doesn't know what the heck is going on here, 2 minutes to just sort of make your case again about what you want the public to know about the strike.
We want the public to know that we're out here fighting for definitely the benefits, pension and medical benefits. We're out here fighting for representation, fair representation for the workers. Workers have rights. Union democracy. This is something the company wants to take away. And, you know, the right for workers to organize should always be there. It shouldn't be up to the company to decide what's in the best interest of the employees, which they have done by taking away the pension and their medical plans. So we're out here fighting for everything. We're out here fighting for everyone. And we're out here fighting to get a fair bargaining agreement with this company. Whether or not we'll be successful, we don't know. There's a lot of other factors that are looming, and there's a decertification that's looming also that, you know, we're up against.
Well, we don't have time to get into the nuances of what decertification means, but let's be very clear that this is a union town. New York is a union city. And as evidenced by what happened yesterday on 23rd Street outside of Spectrum offices, you have the support of your union sisters and brothers, both in the public and private sector, in your struggle. And injury to one is an injury to one.
Injury to all.
Injury to one is an injury to all, and we will continue to be with you through this struggle.
Chris, thank you, and we thank all the other labor unions, all the politicians that have been supporting us in our fight.
Derek Jordan is Local 3 of IBEW's business representative. That is the Electronic Tech Division, and discussing the latest developments in the Spectrum strike, which is now 21 months going on. Way too long. Thanks for being with us, and power to you, brother.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris.
All right. That's just about all the time we have on this show. We need to make a couple of announcements before we do that, however. And it's the end of the year, and it's the holiday season, so let's just go through a few announcements. Very importantly for CUNY members, there has been a tentative agreement with CUNY. CUNY members, you should have received the ballot on the tentative contract, which covers 10,000 DC 37 members who work for the City University of New York. Please mail in your completed ballots by 9 a.m. on Tuesday, December 18th. If you haven't received one, please call 1-800-529-5218. Also, for more information, you can attend a meeting. We're having information meetings. Go to the DC 37 website, www.dc37.net, to find a information session near your school. And you can share the holiday spirit with the less fortunate members of our union family. Participate in DC 37's annual holiday drive. Please make checks or money orders payable to the DC 37 holiday drive and bring them or mail them to the DC 37 Accounting Department, 125 Barclay Street, New York, New York, 10007. You can do that weekdays from 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. And for more details, check the November PEP. If you're looking to buy your first home or to refinance your current home, the DC 37 Municipal Employees Housing Program is holding a housing seminar on Thursday, December 13th at 5:30 p.m. at Union Headquarters. That's Thursday, December 13th. To pre-register and for details, please call 212-815-1814. The Education Fund is accepting applications for classes for the winter 2019 cycle. You can register at www.dc37.net. For information, please call 212-815-1700. And the Municipal Employee Legal Services reminds you that they provide legal representation when applying for citizenship. For more information on that, please call 212-815-1818. Remember, if you have any comments about today's show or any of our shows, please drop us a line at stateoftheunion@dc37.net. We appreciate your feedback. That's all the time we've got. I want to thank our guests, New York City Health and Hospitals President and CEO Dr. Mitchell Katz, and Derek Jordan, business representative of IBEW's Local 3. The producer is Rudy Orozco. The engineer is Andrea Minocchio. I'm Chris Policano. Until next time, ciao.